So, Ryland, if you had to describe your governor in one word, what word would you use?
Combative.
Ryland Barton is the statehouse reporter for Kentucky Public Radio. That's so good. That's so, like, reporterly. And right now, his governor, Matt Bevin, is up for re-election. If you read about him, a lot of people use the word mean.
Mean, yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of a synonym for the same thing. And I think that he would embrace that title, really.
When Ryland says his governor is combative, he's talking about the way Matt Bevin has spent the last 4 years fighting for his vision of conservative government. When teachers flooded the Capitol building last year to protest changes to their pensions, Bevin said they had a thug mentality.
Yeah, but Bevin's suggesting that he needs to knock teachers out in order for their own goods.
And it's funny because I think the Democratic response to it today in a statement was, every time he opens his mouth, he can't help it, it's a disaster.
Yes.
Like, literally, that's what they said. And it is. It is a disaster.
He is a perfect...
He's refused to talk to reporters claiming that they're... claiming that they, like, actually work for his opponents. There was this one time where he called me an embarrassment to the Commonwealth and my profession. And, you know, it rattles around my brain from time to time. But, you know, I think it's more of a red badge of courage than anything.
I mean, there's another adjective we could use, which is Trumpy.
Sure. I think, you know, there's a contingent of supporters who just really like that about him. They're both salesmen. They both can really captivate a room. You know, they are, I think they both really think of themselves as the smartest guy in the room.
It's funny, you said there, you know, he thinks people like this combative style. I guess he's about to find out.
Right.
If that's true.
Yeah, I and lots of other political watchers in Kentucky are really eager to see what happens in this election.
This Kentucky governor's race, political operatives have been keeping an eye on it, looking for early indicators. Will Governor Bevin show what lies ahead for President Trump? But on the ground, Ryland sees this race a little differently. Today on the show, we're going to talk about what Kentucky can and can't tell us about the national mood. I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next. Stick with us.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So Bevin has always been aligned with Trump. And we found this video of him from back in 2016, before the presidential election, where he was warning about what could happen if Trump wasn't elected.
Do you think it's possible that we'll be able to survive, that would we ever be able to recover as a nation?
And it was really shocking to watch.
I do think it would be possible, but at what price? At what price?
I wonder if you remember that speech.
Yeah, I remember that. He was referencing that one of the old revolutionary fellows, and, you know, he has this quote about that the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of patriots from time to time. And he was saying that if Hillary Clinton were to win, then the country might once again be in such a time in which the tree of liberty needed to be fed with the blood of patriots. And it was pretty shocking.
Yeah, and he was governor at the time. That was the thing that really stood out to me. He wasn't just campaigning.
Right. He's been known to stoke the flames. It's something he's done a lot.
But now his approval ratings are low. And it's got Democrats wondering, is he beatable? Especially after this campaign rally Bevin held a few weeks back. There was this one rally that you've talked about before where it was supposed to be splashy. Don Jr. was in town and, you know, it was supposed to be a big event for Matt Bevin, but it didn't work out as expected. I wonder if you could tell that story, but tell me sort of what it told you as a reporter who's been following him for so many years.
Yeah. So this was out in Pikeville, which is far eastern Kentucky. That's coal country. That's a huge block of voters that President Trump has, you know, really tried to rally around symbolically, and a place where I think Governor Bevin's folks figured that Donald Trump's son, Trump Jr., would be able to bring a whole lot of folks out of the woodwork for a rally on Governor Bevin's behalf. So they had this. It was in the middle of the day, I believe, on a Thursday in late August, and they rented out this huge arena, Appalachian Wireless Arena, and about, I would say, a little over 100 people showed up. And it was a pretty big empty hall for, you know, one of the most prominent, you know, Republican figures, or one of the most prominent surrogates for President Trump.
Those must have been terrible pictures for the newspaper.
Yes. Well, the thing is, there weren't too many people there covering it. You know, there were some local reporters there. I happen to be one of the few people from the State House that came out to, you know, see how Eastern Kentucky would roll out for Governor Bevin. And yeah, no, not too many people showed up. It was a bit of an embarrassment for the campaign.
Ryland says the thing about covering politics in Kentucky is that polling isn't that reliable. Not many people expected Bevin to become governor in the first place. He had never held elected office before. His Democratic predecessor was really popular. So when Ryland sees an empty stadium like this one, he starts thinking, maybe this race is up for grabs.
On one side, we're wondering, well, Governor Bevin's been trying to make sure that Eastern Kentucky stays in his camp, because Eastern Kentucky is this historically Democratic-leaning region, you know, New Deal, Franklin D. Roosevelt-era Democrats that has really started voting Republican in recent years. But especially with Governor Bevin's comments about teachers, there's been some questions as to whether or not Bevin has been able to keep those Eastern Kentuckians in his tent.
Back when Bevin was first elected, a lot of people paid attention to what was going to happen in Kentucky, because before he was there, there was a Democratic governor who did everything in his power to make the Affordable Care Act work for the people in Kentucky in terms of expanding Medicaid, in terms of establishing, you know, a local exchange, doing all the things that the Obama administration would have wanted. And it was largely seen as a success. But of course, it was also a state that was trending Republican, and folks sort of looked at it as a lab, like, let's watch this state because it'll show us what happens when a deeply conservative person takes control of a state that has been implementing these policies that are pretty Democratic. So can you just explain what happened?
Yeah. Kentucky was the poster child for the Affordable Care Act. Our uninsured rate went from over 20% down to 7%. Governor Bevin campaigned on doing away with the Medicaid expansion and scrapping the, you know, state exchange. He scrapped the state exchange, but he never did away with the Medicaid expansion, which is actually the, you know, thing that most people have gotten coverage through in Kentucky.
And this was basically to save money, right?
Yeah, it's a cost savings measure. He says that the state isn't able to afford it. He proposed one of those waivers to tinker with the Medicaid system, essentially. The big part of that waiver is to impose work requirements on most Medicaid beneficiaries. That requires them to prove they're working or in school or volunteering in order to keep their benefits. That's been locked up in federal court for the last couple of years, so it hasn't been implemented. We still have the Medicaid expansion.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that my understanding is that he could get rid of the Medicaid expansion with the stroke of a pen, but he has not. It shows how volatile this issue is, that he is sort of saying one thing but acting another.
I think it does tell us something important about what the issue of healthcare is like right now in America. And I think that that's basically that the Affordable Care Act set a political bar for coverage, that politicians really can't try and lower without a whole lot of political repercussions, or at least a whole lot of fear of it. I think we saw the same thing in 2017 with the attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare. Republicans got so close, but it didn't happen because of that very same thing. One, they had to go through reconciliation, but then two, they're so worried about the backlash.
But that backlash, Ryland says he's not seeing it because a lot of the benefits are still there for now.
This is something that you would think would really be a big thing that motivates people to go out to the polls. Because such a large percentage of Kentuckians are on Medicaid, it's like 1.4 million Kentuckians out of 4.4 million are on Medicaid itself, plus tens of thousands of people who are on the exchange programs. You know, you would figure, like, you know, if somebody's trying to undo those benefits, then there's going to be great outcry from voters. But there really hasn't been too much of one. You know, whether it's been the state house elections, we've had two of them since Governor Bevin's been elected, and we've had a couple congressional races. This is not really played.
But there has been an outcry over something else: pension benefits. Governor Bevin has doggedly tried to trim how much the state spends on them. But those pensions impact teachers who have staged sick outs and made regular appearances at the Kentucky General Assembly.
So teachers, you know, they came out in mass. Thousands of teachers have shown up on weekdays in the middle of the school year to protest some of these bills that have been taken up in the legislature. It's pretty remarkable. It's hard to walk around the Capitol. It's hard to park. It's hard to, you know, and it's just loud the whole time. But it's, you know, it's fascinating to watch.
Public pensions are under attack. What do we do?
We get very little. Our pension is our nest egg. We don't get Social Security. We don't get paid a lot, but we get a pension. And when they mess with your pension, they're messing with the livelihoods of teachers everywhere.
And Governor Bevin, he has not appreciated any of this.
The governor railed against this. He called the teachers thugs. He compared them to drowning victims, saying you need to hit them over the head and drag them to shore because they don't know what's best for them. And he's been unabashed about it. He has not apologized, and he's just kind of doubled down on it. And teachers have just only gotten angrier and angrier. And so, again, this is kind of the big question, whether or not the things Bevin has done and how he's talked, whether that's something that will flip people, that will get people to start voting Democrat in some of those rural parts of the state.
So Governor Bevin has been talking about all these conservative talking points, but it sounds like he's run into a lot of opposition from voters and roadblocks. And I wonder how his opponent right now, the Democrat, Andy Beshear, is capitalizing on that.
So Andy Beshear is he's the attorney general right now in Kentucky. So it's this unusual relationship of having a Democratic attorney general and a Republican governor. But what it's meant is that Andy Beshear has just sued the governor throughout their administrations. I think it's something like 12 lawsuits.
If the Democratic candidate for governor has a bunch of lawsuits against the Republican candidate for governor, it sounds kind of personal.
Yeah, it's been personal in some ways since the very beginning. Andy Beshear, the guy who's running for governor, is the son of the former governor, Steve Beshear. One of the first things that Bevin did when he got into office was remove Andy Beshear's mother, Jane Beshear, from one of the Kentucky Horse Park Board, which is just, you know, widely seen as this very personal attack.
Well, I mean, we should remind people, in the state that's the home of the Kentucky Derby, removing someone from a horse-related board might be a big deal.
It was a big deal. But I mean, it was also, you know, she's been First Lady of Kentucky for 8 years. And like, as one of the first things he did in office was just kind of this elision of just her name, even from anything in there. And then it turned into these lawsuits.
Listening to Ryland talk, you can see why the Democrats think they've got a shot here, right? But even though Bevin has struggled with kitchen table issues, Ryland says the governor's been shrewd when it comes to social issues, wedge issues. Bevin wants voters to focus on impeachment, abortion, immigration.
Illegal immigration is hurting America. The crime, the cost. Governor Bevin won't let it hurt Kentucky. Bevin says no to sanctuary cities. But Andy Beshear would allow illegal immigrants to swarm our state.
These are the very same issues Republicans are running on all over the country, which is why politicos see this race as an indicator of what's to come.
despite having this, the kind of Trumpy, you know, wild rhetoric, deep down, you know, his issues align with Republicans, probably the most signature of which is his stance on abortion.
Kentucky was moving backwards with liberal pro-abortion candidates gaining strength. Then we elected Christian conservative political outsider Matt Bevin as governor. He's a father of 9 kids, 4 of them adopted.
Yes, Glenna and I are pro-life, but so is Kentucky.
Andy Beshear. He has pushed so hard and signed many, many anti-abortion bills into law. He has attempted to close the last abortion provider in the state under a licensing disagreement. You know, it's still locked up in court. And yeah, he was one of the governors to sign a fetal heartbeat bill into law, which is, you know, effectively a ban on abortion. But the thing is to remember is that Kentucky is actually a kind of strange Republican state. There are a lot of Republicans, especially in rural parts of the state, that are still pretty in favor of social services, whether it's safety net programs like the Medicaid expansion or like the school stuff that we're talking about, like pensions, stuff that actually ends up benefiting rural local governments because there's not a whole lot of other money there. And this is money that's going to folks that live there.
So next week, Trump is supposed to visit Kentucky and be part of a rally with Governor Bevin, try to pump him up right before Election Day. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people in Washington are talking about this as some kind of bellwether, sort of get the pulse of the country, how the country's feeling about not just their local governor, but the president, too. I wonder what you would tell those folks who are looking at this race. Would you tell them, this is too local, don't look at it like that? Or would you say, nah, pay attention here?
I don't know. I think that that's, you know, Kentucky is just one state. It has its own particular strange things going on in its race that aren't totally tied to the president. And the huge other factor is just how, you know, how low our voter turnout is in these elections. Last time around, it was 30%. Who showed up to vote for governor in 2015. And yeah, it's a state race. It's kind of focused on state issues. Granted, the governor wants it to be, he wants it to be a referendum on Donald Trump because Donald Trump is so popular in Kentucky.
That's a really good point that making this a referendum on Trump benefits Bevin in the end because it makes Trump come down there, do a rally, puts the pressure on the Democrats real hardcore to turn something out.
Yeah. And it reminds all those voters who have been supporting Republicans in recent years, kind of a big reason why they've been doing it. And that's their support for the president, who's just wildly popular here, whereas Bevin is not. And it's those big issues that people are paying attention to, things that, you know, are talked about a whole lot on national cable news programs. Again, abortion, immigration, impeachment. These are the things that the governor wants voters to keep their eye on, even though, with the exception of abortion, those issues don't have a whole lot to do with what's going on in state government.
Rylan Barton, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Rylan Barton is a statehouse reporter for Kentucky Public Radio. And that's the show. What Next is produced by Daniel Hewitt, Mara Silvers, Mary Wilson, and Jason DeLeon. We have editorial help from Allison Benedict, and I'm Mary Harris. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Dahlia Lithwick, and I'm host of Amicus, Slate's podcast about the law and the U.S. Supreme Court. We are shifting into high gear, coming at you weekly with the context you need to understand the rapidly changing legal landscape. The many trials of Donald J. Trump, judicial ethics, arguments and opinions at SCOTUS, we are tackling the big legal news with clarity and insight every single week. New Amicus episodes every Saturday, wherever you listen.